Holding by the Mishnah on Peivav Amud Beis. Mishnah says, Nadr Ishtai, suppose a person's wife made a neder, and he thinks that his daughter made a neder. So it could be, of course, that he mixed up the voices, of course, but the Ram and a number of the other Mephoshim say that means they told him that his daughter made a neder, and he was Mefer or Mekayim on that basis. And it turns out that it was his wife. Or vice versa. It was actually his daughter who made the neder, and he's under the impression that it was his wife. Similarly, what if he has the right person, but the wrong kind of neder? She made a neder of nazir, the sover shenadra b'korban. He mistakenly thinks that she made a neder of korban, which could be, of course, to bring a korban, or it could be what we've been talking about throughout the Masechta, koinam, which is a loshen of korban. It's that you're saying this thing should be also like a korban, so a regular neder. And a third possibility, nadr b'korban, or vice versa. A third possibility where you have the person right and you have the type of neder right, but you have the object wrong. If she made a neder, that she won't eat figs, and he mistakenly thinks that she made a neder not to eat grapes. Or the other way around. So in all those cases, once he finds out the actual neder, then he can still be mefer on that day. Meaning, in other words, the Ran says it means not only, of course, his first afara was no good because he needed to know who he was being mefer for and what he was being mefer, but even he says, based on it and proves it from a tesefta, that what if he was mekayim on the basis of this mistaken thing? So what if he heard, let's say, that his daughter had made a neder, and he knows from past experience, let's say, that his daughter's nedarim are good nedarim, and he likes them. So now he says, good, I'm Mekayim. Then he finds out it was his wife. Then we say that nevertheless, his hakama doesn't count, and he's still able to be made for as long as it's still the same day, because it was betos, and therefore it doesn't count.
Based on what we learned, it shouldn't be the same day. It should be until he finds out.
We mean on the day that he finds out, right? So whenever we talk about B'yom Shomer, we mean on the day he finds out. Oh, so you're asking on the day he finds out the mistake? No.
Because you didn't know
which one it was. Yeah, that's a fair point.
We also learned that if he doesn't know, he didn't know the din, that he has to be made for that day. When he finds out the din, then he can be made for. We learned that also.
That's true also, right? Well, there we have a machlokas or mayor and the chachamim, right? But no, actually, they're the other way around, right? If he doesn't any yodea sheyesh mefir and yofer, that's true. Right. So fair enough. Yeah, it might be that he has the ability to do it other days as well. Okay. In any case, yeah. So the Gemara says, Lememra, okay, so are you going to tell me the Yoni Oysa Dav Bahu? So you're going to tell me then that the reason why it would have to be that he has the particular woman and the particular neder in mind would be because the Pasuk says, Yoni Oysa, he will discourage her from the neder, and the Oysa would mean that it has to be Lashma, that has to be having in mind this particular woman and this particular neder. So the Gemara is going to go on to ask about that, but the Ran says, okay, well, that tells us then that when it comes to Afara, that you have to have the particular one in mind. But we just said that Hakama also is the same kind of thing, that even if it was Mekayim and it turned out it was for the wrong woman, then also it doesn't count as Hakama. So how do you know that? So, and here the Ran points out something that we've touched on before, which is, now you could answer the reason is because there's a Hekish between Hakama and Afara that we learned earlier in the Masechta. However, the Ram says that's not enough for the purpose, because we know Hakama and Hafara, even though we have a Hekesh between them, they're not compared for all purposes. For example, we've learned previously that Hakama can be even in his mind, Hafara has to be verbal. So we see that there are definitely differences between them. So Hakama, you have to actually speak out. The Hakama, you don't have to speak out. You can think in your mind, I'm Mekayim, and that's enough, and then you can't be made for anymore. Hafara, you have to actually say it out. So it can't just be because of that. So the Ram says, no, in fact, when we have a Hekish between them, it's not a true Hekish really all it is just because the pasuk puts them one next to another. It's more like smoking. So no, the Ran says, evidently, it must be because it's true. Just like it says Yoni Oisa, and we're saying therefore the Oisa means that when he's made for, he has to have a particular one in mind. The same way when it comes to our comma, it says that he's Mekayim Lo for her. So Kihechush Lo Avia. So from there also we would learn that it means that he has to have the right person and the right neder in mind, and if not, it's not a hakama. And the same thing, and by the way, the Ran also adds, we learned at the beginning of the previous parak, we learned a couple of weeks back that you have the case where a person has two wives. Can he be mefer to both of them together, or can he be mekayim to both of them together? And we asked whether oisa is davka or not. So the Gemara pointed out over there that it actually would depend on a machlokas tanoim between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you say a certain din like that regarding Soita, whether it's exclusive to Soita or whether it applies more generally. Here the Ran says, well, evidently then, once we establish over there that you can't be Mefer to both of them, then the same thing, you can't be Mekayim to both of them at once either. In other words, you can be Mekayim one after the other. If Rochel and Leah each made a neder, you can say I'm Mekayim for Rochel, I'm Mekayim for Leah, but he can't say I'm Mekayim for both of you and have it work. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so you're telling me that the word oisa means specifically he has to have her in mind, and since he didn't have her in mind, then it's not a valid hakama, and it's not a valid hafara. So by the way, what you were saying a minute ago, Ellie, that on the day he finds out the fact that he could actually be made for. Yes, the Rashba and the Nemuka Yosef say that explicitly. So yeah, that's how it is. So you're going to say that's what it is. But Vahogabe Kroin. But consider when it comes to the din of Kriya. Now the din of Kriya that a person has to rip his clothes when a close relative passes away, or the Gemara we learned in Marid Cotton, we learned about a year ago a number of other situations where a person has to tear kriya, among others for very bad news that affects a majority of the Jewish people. And we learn all this, dichtim, al. Now, in the case of David HaMelech, when it describes him tearing kriya, when Shaul and Yonason and many of the Jewish people were killed in battle against the Plishtim, so it says individually that they cried and they tore their clothes, al, on each one individually. Dichtim, al Shaul v'al Yonason minai. The pasuk says that they were crying and mourning and tearing kriya and whatever for Shaul and for Yehonasan his son and so forth. And the Gemara continues and the pasuk continues over there and for Am Hashem and Beis Yisrael that they were killed by the sword. And the Gemara explains over there that you learn from that a person has to tear kriya when the king dies. Shaul was the king. Also the Av Beis Din, which is what Yehonasan was. Also when in a also yeah. So the point is that it says al specifically by each one separately, and we learn from that when a person does kriya, they have to have in mind the particular person they're doing kriya for. V'tanya, yet we learn in a braisa, omrulay mes aviv. Suppose that people tell a person his father died, v'kora, and he tore kriya, v'achakach nimtza bnoi, and then it turns out it wasn't his father, it was actually his son, yotze yidei kriya. Then he's yotze kriya with that one, and he does not have to do kriya again. So you see, in other words, that's the point. So you see, in other words, that even though by kriya a person has to have in mind, nevertheless, even though it says al doesn't mean specifically he has to have that in mind, and if not, then the kriya is possible. So by the same token, why should we say when it comes to Yoni Oisa, or as the Ran says also, Hechrish Loh, that it should mean specifically her, and if he had somebody else in mind by mistake, and later on he finds out the actual fact that it shouldn't work, why not? And the Shittim Mukhabetis adds, by the way, I mean, you could answer the obvious question. So what? Kriya is Dirabanon. Here we're talking about Dorim. Here we're talking about Aphoris and Dorim is Daraisa. But the answer is when the Chachamim make a Takana, generally they model it on the Din Daraisa. So if daraisa. The fact were that you have to have, as we're saying, that you have to have the particular woman and the particular neder in mind. Then when it came to kriya, the chachamim would have made a similar takana. So the Gemara answers loy kasha. There's no contradiction. Amri, they answered loy kasha. There's no contradiction. Habistam v'habim farish. One's talking about, the other's talking about what he said explicitly. The Brisa, we have said, that says that that when Tor Kriya, doesn't mean that they told him explicitly that his father died. It means they told him somebody died. He's under the impression that it was his father. So let's say he knew his father was sick, and when people come and tell him a relative of yours died, he jumps to conclusions that it was his father. And then it turns out that it was his son. So then we're saying, because he didn't explicitly say, I'm doing this for my father. So that would be then the case of Kriya is why he's Yotze. Whereas on the other hand, the Farish, if they told him explicitly his father died and he tore Kriya, then no, then we would say that Al is Dafka. So which means, in other words, that the Ran says when the Braisa said that Omrulai mes Oviv, it doesn't actually mean that they told him in so many words his father died. It just means they told him mes and he jumped to conclusions that it was Oviv.
So is a mitzvah or something you have
to do? It's a mitzvah, yeah. It's a mitzvah midrabanan to do it, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, Tosfos actually says a little bit differently. Tosfos says bistam would mean that he tore for whoever it is. If it was my father, if it was his father, if it was his son. So then we're saying that he's Yotze because Akoponim, he had in mind that it should be some kind of valid kriya. Whereas the Mishnah, or Mishnah rather, would be taught, in other words, so according to the Ran, it comes out that even within the Braisa itself, you can distinguish between Stam and Mefarish, whether he tore Kriya without mentioning this is for my father versus where he says this is for my father. As opposed to, according to Tosfos, we're saying that in the Braisa, he's not really specifying at all for who it is at all. But whereas in the Mishnah, he said, this is a hafara for my daughter or whatever. So that's one answer. And the Gemara says, Baha Tanya. And in fact, we learn a Braisa to that effect. Omrulai mes aviv. If they tell a person his father died, v'kora, and he tore kriya, v'achakach nimsa b'noi, and then it turned out it was his son, lo yotze yidei kriya. Then he's not yotze kriya. Why not? Because then they told him befedersh that it was his father, and therefore he's not yotze because he didn't have the right person in mind, and we're not being mekayim what it says al and al shol v'al yohonasan b'noi, etc. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, omru loy. Mess like mess, but if they told him that a relative of his died, or sober overbu, and he thinks that they're talking about his father, and he tore kriya, and that it turned out it was his son, yotze de kriya, then he is yotze kriya because then it was bistam. So that agrees with the explanation that we gave before. Agoris HaBach brings over here a long thing that a number of the Mephoshim over here don't seem to have that sefer of the Braisa at all. They just have the Resha. So it would come out according to that, that if they tell him mess stam and he tears kriya, he might actually not be yotze. So in other words, this braisa might not fully be agreeing with what we said before. Stam and mefarish, the stam and mefarish might be useful, in other words, for explaining the difference between that braisa versus on Mishnah, but not necessarily within the dinim of kriya itself, that there might be such a difference between stam and mefarish, not necessarily.
This is important because we brought this down to
right, but case. Right, but so in other words, the question is basically that so one point is we said that v'hatanya is benichusa, and that's how the Ran understands it. But we could also understand, so the Rosh also brings that v'hatanya is benichusa, but then he brings a different girsa that the Gemara is actually asking the Gemara is actually asking, the Braisa seem to contradict each other, because the first Braisa seems to be implying that the Stam, it's fine, he's Yotze, and the second one only mentions the point about Meforish, then he's not Yotze, so what would happen to Stam? Then it seems to imply that it wouldn't work. Stam and Meforish. Oh, benichosa means like calmly, like not as a question, but oh, Tanya, but didn't we learn in a braisa? But now, according to this other explanation, it comes out that in fact the Gemara is pointing out a contradiction between the braisa. So the vahotanya means like it usually means throughout Shas, vahotanya, but didn't we learn in a braisa such and such? Yeah. So then the Gemara continues, Rav Ashi Omer, Kan betoch kedei dibur, kan la'achav kedei dibur. So there's a difference whether the new information is betoch kedei dibur or after it. So again, according to the Ran's explanation, that until now the Gemara has not pointed out any contradiction between braises. Just the opposite. The Gemara brought that last braisa to prove what we said before, that there's a difference between stam and meforish. Then Rav Ashi is giving a different answer. Rav Ashi is saying, sure, I agree that there's a difference between stam and mefarish. I'm not arguing with the previous braisa. And the same thing as far as nedarim, then, if it was stam, if he said whoever it was that made the neder, I'm mefer, then that would be fine. And only if it was mefarish, only if he said, I'm mefer my daughter's neder, would it not be fine. However, Rav Ashi is going to give a different answer. He's going to say, the fact is, it's a bit of a doichak to understand that first braisa that way, to say that it would mean that that when we said mes oviv in the first braisa, didn't actually mean that they told him his father died, just means they told him somebody died, and he jumped to conclusions that it was his father. Rav Ashi says it's a little bit of a doichak to say that. So therefore, he wants to give a different answer of that even when mefarish, if he found out the new information, then it would still work. And that would mean also that in our Mishnah, even if he said Beferush, I'm Mefer for my daughter, and then within Teich Kedei Dibur, he was informed it was actually his wife, then he could then that Hafara would still work.
Someone else?
Oh no! Not really would work. But then So he wouldn't need to. In other words, so even when they if he said I'm mefer for my daughter, and then betoch kedei dibur they told him it was your wife, then his hafara would actually work for her as well. And Rav Ashi is saying the same thing by kriya. If they tore, knowing that it was, if he told tore on the basis that they told him it was his father, and toch kedei dibur he found family member. That they actually told him that it was his father, and toch kedei dibur he really found out that it was his son, then actually the kriya would work even though he was mefarish. That's Rav Ashi's point. That's Rav Ashi's chiddush. In other words, is that toch kedei dibur helps even to undo the fact that he said this hafara is for my daughter or this kriya is for my father. That helps to undo that part of it so that it's still a valid hafara or a valid kriya for the other person. But after Teich Kedei Dibur, then we would have what we say in our Mishnah that he needs to be made for again.
Because like the word Teich Kedei Dibur is so short that if he says, my father, and then he says, no, you send that Teich Kedei Dibur like passed already.
Right. Well, obviously, in most cases, it won't happen, but it could conceivably happen. But whatever the case, we'll talk about soon why it is that in many cases in halacha we say that Teich Kedei Dibur is considered poskim talk about actually they talk about it in Lomdash Sforim on the subject that in effect what we're going to end up saying is that when you have two things that take place in Teich Kedei Dibur, it's not considered they were one after the other, it's considered like a vasachas, as if they were simultaneous, and therefore that has implications in halacha. So we'll talk about soon why that should be so.
See it helps.
You have a number of cases where so we'll get to soon, and we'll explain soon why that helps. But anyway, so the point is, according to the Ran's explanation, Rav Ashi is not disagreeing with anything we said before. He's saying you found one way to reconcile the braises, to say that one's talking about stam and what another's talking about mefarish. I can tell you that's a little bit of a doichuk to have to say that the first braise is talking about only about stam, even though it used the words mes aviv. I will tell you that both of them can be talking about Mefarish, and there's a difference between Teich Kedei Dibur and Achav Kedei Dibur. Now, that's according to the Ran, according to the second explanation, the Rosh, and according to some of the other Mefarshim. Rather, since the Gemara pointed out a contradiction between the two Braises, again, because we're not Gerdus, the second part of the first Braise, we only have that there seems to be a contradiction, where first we're saying that if they told him Mes Oviv, then he is Yotzer. And then the second Braisa says that he's not Yotzer. So then we have a contradiction between them. So Rav Ashi is answering that the contradiction is resolved by saying that there's a difference between Toshka de Dibro and Achak de Dibro, which according to that, then it would come out that there's no difference between Stam and Meforish. The difference is strictly Toshka de Dibro and Achak de Dibro. So Rav Ashi says, Hod ka'amet yotzi de kriya, when you say that he's yotzi kriya, shinim sabno, Toshka de Dibro, where it turns out, but Toshka de Dibro, that it was actually his son, that he's yotzi, the kriya that he did for his father. Hod amit lo yotzi de kriya, la acha kade Dibro. And then when he says lo yotzi de kriya, that would be after kade Dibro, then at that point, then he needs to do a new kriya. So again, according to the Ram's explanation, Rav Ashi would say that, sure, if he did the Kriya Stam, then it doesn't matter, Toshka de Dibro or Achak de Dibro. However, if he did it Meforish, then it will depend on Toshka de Dibro or not. According to the second explanation, we're saying that Rav Ashi is saying, forget Stam and Meforish, that doesn't make a difference at all. Either it's strictly Toshka de Dibro and Achak de Dibro, yeah. Vaha Tanya. And indeed, we learn in a Braisa, again, the Svaha Tanya is benichusa, is calmly, not as a question, but rather as a proof for what Rav Ashi is saying.
Usually
one or the other, another of the Mephoshim will point out. So here actually you have in the case of the first Svaha Tanya, so here in the case of both of them, the Ran says benichusa on both of them, both the one that we had earlier after the two, between the two Braises and the one that we have now after Rav Ashi, both of them, the Ran said Svaha Tanya is benichusa. Now the Meforish printed under Rashi's name, the first one said no, but Kashi and Braisa Adadi, the two Braises contradict each other, meaning that Svaha Tanya there was a question. The second one now we have, he says the Messiah, Rav Ashi, supporting Rav Ashi, meaning that it's benichusa, meaning that it's calmly. So yes, in order to know whether a particular Svaha Tanya is benichusa or not, you're going to have to look in the Meforishim. You're not going to be able to tell it from the text of the Gemara alone. Yeah. Anyway, Svaha Tanya, and indeed we learn a Braisa, Mishiyesh l'chol b'seich beisoy, if a person has a sick relative in his house, v'nis aleph, and that sick person fainted, v'chimeduma shemes, and he thinks the person died, v'kora, and then he toured, v'tour kriya, v'achakach mes, and then that person died, lo yotze yide kriya. Then he's not yotze because the kriya wasn't at the right time. Right. On the other hand, Omer of Shimon ben Pazi, Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, lo shonu ela shemes la'acha kadei dibru. However, that would only apply if the person died after kadei dibru. Avol b'toch kadei dibru. But if he died toch kadei dibru, so the person ripped and within toch kadei dibru, the person at the mess actually died kadibru dummy, then that would be considered like during the time of dibru, and therefore he does not need to tear kriya again. So we see that even though he tore kriya a tiny bit too early, it's fine because it was b'tekere dibur. By the same token, this supports what Rav Ashi is saying, that by the same token, if a person thought that it was his father and it turned out it was his son, then he's yotze the kriya. And the same thing again by Hakoma and Hafara, as long as he found out b'tekere dibur, then it would actually count. And the Gemara says, in fact, actually, Tosfos is bothered by the question that the Gemara is saying Svaha Tanya, and it's bringing a Braisa, but really the proof is not really from the Braisa itself. Just that the Braisa itself said that if he tore Kriya and then the person died, he's not Yotze Kriya. We need Rav Shimon ben Pazi's statement in order to tell us the Toshka de Dibro or Achak de Dibro. So why did the Gemara bring Svaha Tanya? And indeed, we learn in a Braisa, it should have said something to the effect V'chein Omer Rav Shimon ben Pazi or something to that effect. Tosfos is bothered by that question. In fact, the Shita Mekubetza says that really, in fact, we could say unlike the Ran and unlike the Mefarish, that the Vahatanya here was a question, as it usually was. So the question was, Vahatanya, didn't we learn in a Braisa that if a person tore Kriya and then the person died and he's not Yotze, implying that there's no difference whether it was Tokhle Dibur or Akhle Dibur? And the answer would be that Omer of Shimon Pazi, that in fact, even though the Braisa didn't spell out the difference, there is in fact that difference. So then the flow of the Gemara would be, Rav Ashi mentioned his point about Tokhle Dibur and Akhle Dibur. The Gemara asks on it, the Vatanya then would not be benichusa, but rather would be a question. And Ravashi, that we have a Braisa that doesn't seem to make any such distinction. And then the answer would be that no, in fact, Rav Shimon Pazi makes that distinction for us.
So why can Ravashi answer that?
Because Ravashi himself maybe didn't know of Rav Shimon Pazi's statement. He knew that there's a difference of Tokhle Dibur and Akhle Dibur, but he didn't have a proof for it. So now the Gemara was seeking a proof for it. So first it found. So again, according to the Ran, the Gemara is saying that either way, Rav Ashi didn't bring a proof for what he said. Some of the Gemara is bringing that proof. So according to the Ran,
he learned it
from his Rebbeim. Yeah. So according to the Ran and the Mefarish, the flow of the Gemara is that Rav Ashi made a statement, and the Gemara backs it up with a Braisa plus a statement of Rav Shimon Pazi that explains the Braisa. According to the Shittim Kubetzis, rather, the flow of the Gemara is Rav Ashi made a statement. The Gemara asks on it from a Braisa, which doesn't seem to make such a distinction, and the answer is that Rav Shimon Pazi makes that distinction on the Braisa.
And again, Rav Shimon Pazi's raya is from where?
Rav Shimon Pazi doesn't bring a raya. He's saying that, so we're going to explain in a second where we know this concept of Tokhle Dibur from, but he's stating the fact that even in the case of that Braisa, where he tore Kriya at a time when he wasn't chayiv in Kriya at all, because the person hadn't even died yet, it can still work as long as it was Tokhle Dibur. Yeah. So the Gemara finishes off. V'hilchasa, the bottom line halacha is Tokhle Dibur Kedibur Dami. In general, Tokhle Dibur is considered as Dibur. In other words, it's considered all at the same time. Now, why should that, with a couple of exceptions that we're going to explain, well, let's give the exceptions and then we'll explain the theory of the halacha behind it. Chutz mimegadif, one exception is a person who curses Hashem. So then even if he retracts it with Tokhle Dibur, it doesn't help. He's still chayiv skila, right? Another one is a person worships Avodah Zarah, which means the Ran says, for example, he says to an Avodah Zarah, Keliata, you are my God. Even if he changes his mind, Tokhle Dibur, it doesn't help. Umakadish, and a third one is where a man is Makadish, a woman. He can't undo it even Tokhle Dibur. And the fourth one, Umagarish, and also when he's divorcing his wife and says, he gives her the get and says, Hareza Gitech, then he can't undo it even Tokhle Dibur. So what's the theory behind why Tokhle Dibur would help? And also the Ran asks, where do the Chachamim know that these four should be an exception? So the Ran explains like this. With most things that a person does, they're not so chomer. When a person says them, he doesn't actually think mentally in his mind, I am definitely decided on this. He says it, but he's still giving himself an out. Like for the couple of seconds that it says Tokhle Dibur is defined as the time that they have different posts can talk about, is it the time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori? Either way, it's a fraction of a second. So he gives himself that out, kind of where he thinks that he can be chozer during that time. When it comes to these four things that we mentioned, the Gadif and Obed Avodah Zarah and so forth, they're so chomer, a person is not going to do them unless he really thought it over carefully beforehand. So therefore, he doesn't have the Tokhle Dibur out anymore. So that's one explanation. Then the Ran brings from the Ramban, who in turn brings in the name of Rabbi Nitam, that it's a, so according to the Ran, it comes out basically that the concept of Tokhle Dibur would actually be something Daraisa. And therefore, it would apply even in the case of Nedarim, for example, which are Daraisa. Then the Ran brings from the Ramban, who in turn brings from Rabbeinu Tam, that actually it's a takana de Rabbanan. Because imagine for the other case in the Gemara where it brings this concept of Tokhle Dibur Kedibur Dami is in Babastra, in connectus of buying and selling. So imagine, for example, that you have a Talmud who's in the middle of a purchase in the market. And all of a sudden, his Rebbe walks by. Now, it would be disrespectful for him to ignore his Rebbe. He has to say Shalom Aleichem to his Rebbe. If you don't allow him to and still be able to change his mind on the, so he's in the middle of transacting a business deal. If you don't allow him to change his mind, then he's not going to then what are we going to do? He can't greet his Rebbe because then he's afraid he's going to lose his business deal. So therefore, so the Chachamim made a takana, let him go ahead and be able to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe and still have time within the fraction of the second that's left to say to the other guy, you know what, I want to change my mind on this deal. So once the Chachamim made it by that, then the Chachamim made it that in general, with the exception of these four things, then the Chachamim didn't want to give him that out. But when it comes to everything else, then the Chachamim will allow him to kedidib. The Ran says, though, I mean, what are we talking about here? By Nidorim, we're talking about something Daraisa. How can a Takana of the Chachamim allow it to work in a case of something Daraisa? Fine, it can work by Mekach HaMemker, where many of the dinim of that are only Dirabanan, but how can it work by something Daraisa? And the Ritva gives a third reason, because the Chachamim figured out a lot of times when a person is saying something, even after they stop speaking, like their mouth is still moving as if they're finishing the words or something without verbalizing them. So therefore, the Chachamim figured out that that's the amount of time a person has said something, but he's still like kind of his lips are still moving, and therefore it's considered a continuation of the previous statement that he was making. So that's what we're saying. Then ultimately, except for these four things, then we're saying that Tochkere Dibur actually, so he can undo it, Tochkere Dibur. So therefore, that would apply to Kriya. And it would apply even to Nedarim over here, where we're saying that he was Mefer, thinking that the Neder was of one kind or with one person, and then Tochkere Dibur, he finds out differently, then his Afara or his Akama actually works. One thing is, there's a sicha in Chelik Yutes about the dinim of Edim and how they relate to our avoda and bring Alakos into the world. The Rebbe mentions over there, the focus of the sicha over there is about the two types of Edim. We know that in Halacha, you have Edi Birur and Edi Kiyum. That's something else. You have Edi Birur and Edi Kiyum. Most Edim in Torah are Edi Birur. You have the Edim are needed in order to clarify what happened. The Gemara in some places expresses it with the idea, Loi Ivri Sadi Elo Lishkori. The only reason why witnesses were created is because of liars. So let's say, for example, why do you need witnesses that Reuven lent money to Shimon, and therefore that Shimon owes the money to Reuven? Because Shimon later on may deny it. Conceivably, if we lived in a completely honest world, you wouldn't need Edim for such things. On the other hand, you have Edim that are called Edi Kiyum. They're the ones that make it happen. Without Edim by a Kiddushin, there's no Kiddushin. Without Edim by a divorce, there's no divorce. And so forth. Mekayim signatures is something else. We're not even talking about that. Edi Kiyum, we don't mean Kiyum in the sense of being Mekayim signatures. Just Edi Kiyum in the sense they make the thing happen. Without them, nothing has happened. So in other words, a man gives a woman a pruta and says, Hareyat Mekudeshesli. If there are no Edim over there, there's no Kiddushin. He did the Maisa. He said the words. But you need Edim as an essential part of it.
So those
Edim are called Edi Kiyum, as opposed to the other kind of Edi Birurs to clarify what happened. So Reuven lent money to, so the difference is, Reuven lent money to Rachel. In principle, Rachel owes him the money, whether there were Edim or not.
But saying something.
Right, but on the other hand, when it comes to Reuven being the Kaddish Rachel, then it works only if there were Edim there. So the Rebbe discusses in the Sicha there, in the middle of it, that can be another reason why we're mentioning over here that Mekaddish and Megarish are an exception to the rule of Tochkere Dibur, because basically the idea is when you have something which is accomplished by the Edim, namely again, the Kiddushin is accomplished, or the Gerushin are accomplished by the Edim, then you don't have Tochkere Dibur. Only when it comes to other things where the Edim or Edi Birur, for example, Mekach HaMemka, buying and selling, then we can say that you have Tochkere Dibur because it doesn't fundamentally depend on them being there. They're just there as backup, right?
You just happened to learn that
Sichus? No, a while back, there was one of the Project Lakota Sichus ones during the summer. So I'd learned that Sichus as one of the ones that I do on Sundays. And yeah, so it gets stuck in my memory. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Omra. Now, suppose here's another case. The woman says, Te'enim koinam te'enim ba'anovim elu shani te'emis. She says, a koinam that I won't taste these figs and these grapes.
That
I won't even taste them. In other words, yeah, the usual kind of thing. The kiyim l'te'enim. Suppose that the husband. So kiyim l'te'enim. Suppose the husband was mekayim for the figs. Kulei kayim. Then the entire neder is kayim. Even as far as the grapes, he can't be mefer for the grapes, even though he didn't say I agree with you on the grapes, because he was mekayim part of the neder, and as we're going to go on to say, if he's mekayim part of the neder, then he's mekayim the whole thing. Hefer l'te'enim. On the other hand, if he says that I'm mefer as far as the figs, enim mufer ad sheyofer afla anabim, then it's not mufer unless he also says for the grapes.
We'll learn why.
We'll learn why, but actually, the Ran points out further on in the sugya, two possibilities. Does it mean that, we'll see the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So does it mean that if he's mefer for the te'enim, it means that whatever he did is taken away, fine, and the te'enim, she's now mutter in, the figs, she's now mutter in, but she's still mutter in the, she's still also in the grapes. We don't say that automatically goes along with it. Or do we mean that the neder is not mufer at all? No part of it is mufer. He would have to be mefer both parts of the neder in order for any of it to be mufer.
Because
she said them together, right? Obviously, if she said them as separate nedarim, then it can be mefer and mekayim each one individually. But here we're talking about she made a neder of figs and grapes. So now, one way of understanding when we say that hefer l'te'enim enim mufer ad sheyofer afla anavim, when he's saying that if he's mefer for the figs, he's not mufer unless he also is mefer for the grapes. That can mean it's not mufer for the grapes unless he's mefer for them, but it is mufer for the figs because the fact is he said mufer lach as far as the figs. Or it can mean that even as far as the figs, it's not mufer because he has to be made for the whole thing or nothing.
We touched on this also previously.
Yeah.
So that when you mark the part of it, you mark
only. Hatorah is different than hafara. So we did have previously, we had something else. We had, when it came to hafara, we did have a svara of the Rosh that we learned a few days ago in a different connection. That said, that maybe when it comes to hafara, we can also say neder shuhufa mitzase hufa kulay. But the Ran, most of the other Rishonim, didn't agree with that and gave different reasons why we said over there why it's possible to sometimes be made for only part. We talk about as far as dvorim shebeina levena. When you have a neder that affects the relationship between them, where he can be made for only the part that's relevant to him, but not the rest of it. So. And we don't say that when you're made for part of a neder, you're made for all of it, unlike by Atara. The basic idea is we're going to learn, and we've touched on here and there throughout these parakim, and we're going to learn again in Nozir in a few weeks, Best Hashem, that there's a difference between the mechanism of how the husband's hafara works, or the husband or the father's hafara works, versus the father's hatara. The chacham is oikra versus the chacham's hatara. The chacham is oikra neder meikra. It makes it as though there was never a neder there in the first place. The father or the husband, we're going to end up saying, is only megas guy as he cuts off. From now on, the neder is not in effect, but until now it was. So therefore, for example, she was over on it. So a korban, we said that not. You'd only bring a korban if there was a complete nezirus. And since there wasn't a complete nezirus, so we talked about a few days ago, there shouldn't be any korbanus. We said she does bring a chata sa'if, because a chata sa'if anyway can come ala safek, because to a certain extent she did sin by making this neder in the first place. But basically, she's not chayiv in the korbanus. We're going to learn about that in more detail in Nozir, Bez Hashem. But for example, it means that she needs kapara. If she made a neder of nazir, let's say, and then she was over on the nazir, or some later on the husband was mefer, then she's still chayiv malchus for whatever she was over on, because the fact is the neder was in effect at that time. Yeah.
The difference with safari, you said, or if
so versus atara. To be matter neder, you can be matter, and you can be matter part of the neder, and we learn neder shohuta mktsase huta kulay. By hafara, it doesn't work that way.
The rov
is hatara. Okay. And we'll think about Torah nedarim. We don't call it hafaras nedarim when we do it on Erev Rosh Hashanah, right?
Yeah. Torah is officially the rov.
Hatara nedarim would be the rov or the based in, right? Okay. Yeah. So again, so in our Mishnah, when we say hey for the te'enim enim mufa ad sheyofer afla anavim, there's two ways of understanding it. It can mean that the grapes are not mufa, but the figs are, because he did say mufa loch as far as the fig, or it can mean neither of them is, because he has to be made for the whole neder or nothing. Continues the Mishnah. Omra koinam she'anite emes va'anova she'anite emes. On the other hand, if she said separately, a koinam that I won't taste figs, and a kob and a koinam that I won't taste, then I won't taste that I won't taste grapes. Then harei shnei nedarim, and they're separate nedarim, and one has none to do with the other. Then it can be made for one and makayim the other, or makayim both, or made for both. The Ran points out we did learn earlier in the Masechta that you can be mefer a bunch of nedarim at once. So we're not saying he has to explicitly say I'm mefer for the Te'enim and I'm mefer for the Anovim. It just means that in other words, if he was Makayim one, he can still be made for the other, and vice versa, one does not depend on the other, unlike in the first case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Mani mas nisin. Now who is on Mishnah like? It seems to be Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, the point is, in other words, that the Mishnah had distinguished between Hakoma and Hafara, where we said that if he's Mekayim part of the Neder, then it's Kayim, but if he's Mefer, then we said that, he said he can't be Mefer part of the Neder. So which Tana would that be? Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Ishah Yukimenu v'Ishah Yiferenu, her husband can be Mekayim the Neder, or her husband can be Mefer the Neder. From that we learn, Omra koinam te'enim v'anovim alai, that if she said koinam, these figs and these grapes are also shani te'emes, that if I taste them, they should be considered koinam, they should be considered also to me, kiyim te'enim kolei kayim. So then we'll say, as we said in the Mishnah, if he's makayim for the figs, then the whole thing is kayim, because in other words, we darshin the word yikimenu. The Rosh explains the word yikimenu can be understood. We can break it down. Yokim mimenu. He can be makayim from it, meaning part of it, and that is a valid hakam. So then kolakayim. On the other hand, hefer l'teinim. But if he's mefer, if he's mefer as far as the figs, einim mufer. Then it's only mufer, only if he's mefer for the grapes as well. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So all of that is a point to Rabbi Shmuel. So fine, that agrees exactly with what we said in the Mishnah. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says no. Harehu Omer Isha Yikimenu VeIsha Yiferenu. After all, the Pasuk puts them together, and therefore that means that since if you're telling me that Yikimenu means my Yikimenu Mimenu, just like you're telling me that Yikimenu means Yokim Mimenu, that he can, actually the Ran says this also, that he can be Makayim part of it, and that works, Af Yiferenu Mimenu. The same way, also the Hafara, even though it's true, of course, the word Yiferenu doesn't break down, there's no Mimenu in Yiferenu, but since we have a Hekesh between them, then we should learn whatever applies to one applies to the other. So therefore, if Yikimenu means that he can be Makayim only part of it, and it's valid, then Yiferenu should also mean that he should be able to be made for it and part of it and it should be valid.
They have two different dinim.
They have two different dinim for some purposes, but still, since the Pasuk is putting them one next to the other, then we should understand that what applies to one applies to the other. So that's the Gemara answer. What does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? Miksiv yofer mimenu. The fact is, the word yiferenu does not include the word mimenu in it, so there's no reason to doubt him that way. Rabbi Akiva answers back. Makisha for la koma. The fact is, we have a hekish between them. Ma hakoma mimenu. So just like when it comes to akoma, you're saying that it means mimenu. Afafara mimenu. So then afara would also mean the same thing. Mimenu means part of it.
You just said previously that the Akama and the Afara were not exactly the same. So now you're saying they are the same.
That is true. But nevertheless, so that's the thing. So the Ran said before, we didn't say that the Hekish wasn't as far as everything in them, only things that we derive directly. So that's the thing. The Ran said before, the expression is, only things that we derive directly from the Pasuk, Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yiferenu. So since Rabbi Shmuel is saying from Yikimenu, from the word Yikimenu itself, we're learning Yokim Mimenu, you can be Mekayim part of it, and that is a valid Hakama, then Rabbi Shmuel is saying that we should use that, or Rabbi Akiva rather is saying that we should use that in those words itself, then we have a Hekesh between that and Hafara. Rabbi Shmuel is pointing out the fact is the word Yiferenu is of a different form and it doesn't contain the word Mimenu in it. Rabbi Akiva is saying that there is a hekdesh. So yes, it's true we don't compare them for all purposes, but the purposes we didn't compare them for are things that we find from other psukim, or things that we find in other places where we see, for example, that where we see that there's differences between akama and afara. For example, the fact that one has to be verbalized and the other not, we don't learn them from that actual pasuk, isha yikimeno, but isha yifirano, we learn it from other psukim in that context. So therefore, not necessarily does what apply to one applies to the other. But here, when we're talking about within the same pasuk itself, yikimenu, when we're doushing from it, yikimenu, then Rabbi Akiva holds that's reason enough to say that the din that applies to one should apply to the other.
Simple shot, men meet different. To the husband's?
No, mimenu means from it, from the net.
Ma akama mimenu.
Ma akama mimenu, just like akama. So Rabbi Akiva is saying, just like akama mimenu, part of it, part of the nedu, he can be makayim, and that is valid akama. Afafara mimenu, the same way that afara can also be mimenu, can also be part of the nedu. From mimenu literally means from it. So from it, from the nedu, he's not makayim, we're made for the whole thing, and yet it should work.
So when do we compare and when don't we compare? I mean,
now we're
we have to be clear.
So that's the Ran said the rule before was we compare only when we're talking about something that's within the same pasuk. So when we have a din that we learn from the actual words, Isha Yukimenu, Isha Yiferenu, then we can say that we learn that what applies to one applies to the other. That's why we had, for example, so that Ran mentioned the first place where we talked about that hekesh was we had the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer arguing, can you be Mekayim and Nedu in advance? Can you be made for a Nedu in advance? And the Chachamim said, no, since you can't be Mekayim in advance for reasons that we discussed there, then therefore Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yifredenu, then we learn also you can't be made for in advance. Unlike Rabbi Eliezer had said that the husband, before he leaves town, can say that I'm made for in advance or the Nedarim that you're going to make. He brought a svara over there because we talked about over there because the Nedarim don't have any strength to them yet because they haven't actually been made yet. Therefore, he should be able to be made for them. He had a kavachomer over there what did we have over there? That if he can be made for Nedarim that already exist and already have created an Isser, how much more so that he can be made for Nedarim that don't exist yet? And we had a whole discussion over there. We had the whole thing where the Chachamim are arguing to him about Dinim from Tumah Vatara, where you can't take away Tumah Vatara in advance, and you can't, and so on and so forth. What? Is something else, but yeah. So we had a whole sugya about Andafayin Hey Ayin Vav. But anyway, the point is that there again, we're learning from the actual words Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yifirenu, that the Chachamim are saying because you can't be Mekayim these Nedarim, and even you, Rabbi Eliezer, agree to that. Therefore, you can't be made for them either. Whereas he's saying that I have a Kavachomer that shows that we shouldn't apply the Hekesh in that case. So now also, Rabbi Shmuel is learning from Isha Yikimenu that you can be Mekayim part of the Neder. So Rabbi Akiva tells him in that case, then you have to be able to use the Hekesh to be able to apply it to Yifredenu as well. And meanwhile, Rabbi Shmuel is arguing the fact is, the very fact that the Torah used words of different forms, Yikimenu, which we can doubt in as Yikayim Mimenu, but not the Torah could have found some word for Hafara that would also apply Mimenu, that would also include Mimenu, and it didn't, then therefore that shows that Hekesh is not valid. When you're talking about Dinim, that's what's the point that Ran made before. When you're talking about Dinim that you learn from other Psukim in that context, or from other areas or whatever, then we don't apply the Hekesh at all, which is why we said that Hakama can be even mentally, and Hafara has to be verbally, because that we're not learning from those words, Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yifredenu at all, that we're learning from other Pesukim over there. So that's the point. So the Gemara continues. This that we said, so far we have a machloikas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, so they're both agreeing as far as hakama, that hakama can be partial, but hafara is what they're arguing about, whether you have to be made for the whole thing or only part of it. But the chum say, makish hakama lahafara, on the contrary. Yes, there was a hekish, but the hekish goes the other way around. Ma hafara masha hefer, just like with hafara, whatever he was made for is mufer. Af Bahakoma after a comma. The same thing when it comes to a comma, Masha Kiyim Kiyim, whatever he was Makayim, he was Makayim. So now, in other words, so now the Ran discusses that there's actually two different gyusois over here that the Ran brings. The gyusa that we have in front of us, he says, it means, in other words, that when we said in the Mishnah, hey for the ta'inim, enim mufer, it would mean that whatever he was mefer does work. So he said, I'm mefer for the figs. The result is she's now allowed to eat figs. She'd still just be also to eat grapes. On the other hand, though, in other words, it would come out that according to that, then the Chachamim are not really arguing so much with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, is saying, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are agreeing that to a certain extent there can be a partial hafara, that he's mefer for the figs. It works for the grapes as well. However, then the Ran brings from Pesefta that says that not. So therefore, he prefers a different gusa, which is that the Gemara, that the Chachamim are saying mahafara masha hefer enoim loy hefer afakama masha kiyim loy kiyim, meaning, in other words, that when he's mefer, if he's mefer part of the nether, none of it is mufer. And the same way, if he's makayim part of the nether, then none of it is makoyo. That's the thing. So the Ran says it's a different girsa. Near girsas ktsas sforim. The Ran says, I prefer the girsa that we find in some gemaras. Keep in mind, the Ran lived a few hundred years before printing. So in his times, everything was in Kisveyad. So among the Kisveyad of the Gemara that existed in his time, there were some of them that had the Girsa like we have in front of us, and eventually the Gemaras were printed based on that. But you had a different Girsa that was found in Kisveyad. That said, the Chacham say that no, what they're disagreeing with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on both points. They're saying, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, you both agree that he can be Makayim part of the Neder. You're arguing to what extent he can be Mefer part of the Neder. No, we're telling you that no, on the contrary, just like you can't be Mefer part of the Neder. And if he says, I'm Mefer as far as the figs, nothing happens. And not only is she also in the grapes still, she's also in the figs. The same way, if he's Makayim part of the Neder, the Chacham would say, it also doesn't work. And therefore, nothing happens yet. And he still has until the end of the day to be Mefer as usual. So if he were to say, according to this girsa, if he were to say, I'm Makayim, I agree, I like the fact that you made a neder on figs, but he didn't say anything about the grapes, since it was all part of one neder, that hakoma would be ineffective. And if later that day he rethinks it and says, you know what, after all, I want to be mefer on both of them, then he could.
It would be ineffective, in other words.
Because it was only a partial hakoma. So it comes out, in other words, according to that way of understanding. As long as he's Mefer by the end of the day. If he wouldn't, then of course it's Kayim, but that's a given. Yeah. If he's not Mefer, then everything is Kayim by the end of the day. Yeah. If it was Mefer on one, but that's the thing. The Chum was saying being Mefer on one does not help. So in other words, it comes out that according to Rabbi Shmuel, if you're Makayim part of the Neder, then it's considered you're Makayim all of it. You can't take anything back, but except maybe the Tefkid Dibro, like we said before. But if you were Mefer part of the Neder, then it doesn't work at all, like we said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva would say that either way, it can be Mefer or Makayim part of it, and the rest of it becomes Mufer or Makayim or Makoyim together with it. So Rabbi Shmuel would say, Rabbi Akiva rather, would say in the case of our Mishnah, for example, that if he was Mefer for the figs, even though he didn't say anything about the grapes, automatically the grapes are Mufer as well. And the Chachamim, meanwhile, would have a third opinion that either one, you can't do partial, you have to be Makayim or made for the entire Neder. It's an all or nothing deal. Yeah, there's a lot to keep track of, yeah. Okay, the Gemara finishes off. The Mishnah said, Omra Koinam Te'ena. Now, on the other hand, the Mishnah said that if she said separately a Koinam on figs and a Koinam on grapes, then we said neither one depends on the other, and it can be made for a Makayim them separately. The Gemara points out, Omra Rav Masnissin Reb Shimon. Our Mishnah that requires her to be actually saying the word koinam twice would be according to Reb Shimon. Or not the word koinam twice, but the fact that she says shani to emes twice. In other words, let's look in the Mishnah. She said koinam to ena shani to emes, but another shani to emes. She didn't say the word koinam twice, but she said the word shani to emes twice. She said twice that I would take that anything that I would taste would be considered a separate net, would be koinam. The point is, in other words, what if she had said, for example, a koinam that I won't taste neither figs nor grapes? Is that enough for them to be considered separate nidonim? Because she used the word loy, neither, for either one, for each one of them, or would it require that she actually says the verb, shani te'emes, that I won't taste them for each one? So Rava is pointing out that our Mishnah is appointed of Shimon, who says that saying loy by each one is not enough. The Omar that he says, we talked about this earlier in the Masechta as well, ad sh'yema shavuol chal achad v'achad, we had an example that we brought from Masechta Shavuos, where we know a person makes a false shvua that he doesn't owe somebody money. For example, a person says, I deposited money with you for safekeeping, where is it? And he denies it, you found my lost object, and whatever. All those cases, then when he does tshuva, talk about the end of Parashas Vayikra, he has to pay the keren v'chomesh. And he has to bring a korban. This is the asham. Not an asham. Sorry, he has to bring a. He has to bring a korban over the yored. No, korban over the yored is for shvuas gittur. We have asham gzelus. Sorry, that's what it is. When you have asham gzelus, so the Torah mentions in connection with gzela, pikadon, a bunch of other things. So in connection with korbanus, we call it asham gzelus. In connection with the shvur, we call it shvuas pikadon. Whatever the case, the point is that yeah. So now imagine you have a case where Reuven, Shimon, and Levi all come over to Yehuda and say, you owe each of us money. And he denies it to each one of them. So now, if he were to say, I don't owe any of you, then everybody would agree that when he does tshuva, he only has to bring one korban. The question would be, what if he says, I don't owe you, Shimon, or you, Levi, or you, Yehuda. Would that be enough to make it separate chayuvim of shvua? Reb Shimon says no. Only if he says a shvua that I don't owe you, Shimon, a shvua that I don't owe you, Levi, a shvua that I don't owe you, Yehuda, then he would be chayiv a separate korban for each one. So that's the Mishnah says. Da'omer ad shiyem a shvua l'chal achad v'achad. He says only if you say the word shvua for each one, only then would it be counted as a separate shvua, and he's chayiv a separate asham gzelus for each one.
He's a shvua separate for each.
Because he's swearing separately. He said, a shvua to you, a shvua to you, a shvua to you. But if he just said a shvua that I don't owe you, Shimon, or you, Levi, or you, Yehuda, then that's not considered a separate shvua for each one. So by the same token,
What about if he says a shvua to you and to you and to you, and in his mind, he has just one shvua?
Doesn't matter in his mind. It depends what he verbalized. In most areas of halacha, dvarim shabalei v'enim dvarim, what a person thinks in their mind doesn't count for anything. So again, Reb Shimon is saying you have to actually use the word shvua separately for each one. By the same token, in our Mishnah, only if she said shani te'emes on each one would we say that it's a separate neder, and therefore you can be made for in mekayim separately. If she had just said one shani te'emes, one that I won't taste, and then mentioned a list of things, according to Reb Shimon, it would all count as one big neder. According to the Chachamim, who disagree with Reb Shimon, it would count as separate nedarim, and the husband could be made for a mekayim separately.
Even though we learn by kindness, there's all kinds of language you can use, but when it comes to this...
But when it comes to this, there's a point of whether it's considered one, of whether it's considered one neder, or whether it's considered separate nedarim.
Yes, you were talking.
So, yeah. So, and the Ran mentions that he explained earlier that, so he said earlier actually that the halacha would actually be like Reb Shimon, because the Ran holds the halacha would be like Reb Shimon because we have a number of Stam Mishnayos in our Masechta that express that idea. On the other hand, and he says, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ramban, Paskin like that as well. On the other hand, if I remember correctly, the Rambam Paskin is not like that. That he Paskin like the Chachamim. That no, even if he doesn't say Shavua separately for each one, he'd be Chayiv separately. I don't remember that point though for sure. Okay.
Shkoyach, everyone.